Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where we coach owners of cleaning companies on anything and everything related to building and growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you are committed to growing your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com and get all sorts of stuff you need to create your company that you've always wanted. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or feel free to give us a ring. It's 480-648-5149. We'd love hearing about your feedback, and if you want to apply to the show, those are the way to do it, and we are excited to talk with you. That said, today we are chatting with Danny Murillo from Elena's Cleaning. Elena's serves the New Jersey area with residential and commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Danny and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.elenasclearingnj.com. Elenascleaningnj.com. Danny, glad to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So the obvious question I would be remiss if I didn't ask right off the bat is, how on God's green earth does a fellow named Danny own a cleaning company named Elena's?
Well, my folks, my mother's been cleaning apartments as a sole proprietor since the late 80s, and she decided to finally just start her own business back in 2003. And she slowly just built her client base and said, you know, I could teach somebody how to do this. I can create a medium, you know, for potential employees to be able to do what I do and replicate and eventually start a business. So she did very, very well with that. And I went to school for something completely different. And, you know, while I was at school, I did computer animation. I, at the same time, was also in the mortgage business while I was going to school. And in that process of being in that corporate environment, I just wanted to just do something on my own. I guess I always had this entrepreneurial spirit, and it just was beyond the office and beyond the design room. So my folks finally wanted to throw in the towel and say, listen, we're thinking about selling our business. I said, don't do that. Let me come back and see what you folks are, where you folks are at and what your client base is. So I came back, gave it some technology, gave it a website, gave it a new logo, and made it my own. And ever since then, the employees, the system has been doing great. The Northern New Jersey area has been very good to us, and I'm very happy. So I'm happy.
Awesome. Well, how long ago did you make that transition and take over?
In 2007. So I've been at it for 9 years almost.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. And how many people do you have on your team as it is?
We have a total of 8 employees.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, man. So are you married? Do you have kids? Is this your passion? What's going on personally?
I do have my child, and I am married, and this is certainly something that I am just looking to grow. You know, it's a work in progress. Every single day, something new, and that's okay. You know, I'm a problem solver, and you know, as much as we have wonderful gains and great, amazing benefits that come out of the service, of course, there's always things that arise. And, you know, with all the experience that we've had over the years, I think it's really, really made this small company amazingly great as it has been up until today. So I'm very happy about that.
Awesome. Well, if you're looking to grow, you are in the right spot. So let's jump right in, my friend.
Yeah.
What can I help you with today?
Well, I wanted to go ahead, you know, I was listening to some of your previous recordings, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show today. And my question was, how could I make this business ultimately run itself? What could I include inside a business model to have a business to have my this type of work run itself, because I feel like I have to always be out on the field. I feel like I always have to be present. I feel like if I do go away for a week, at least somebody in charge, something might happen. I might not be there. Who's going to make that certain call and that certain decision? And sometimes that just tends to cause a little bit of worry. And one day, I, in growing my business, I want to eventually aside from growing it, also start another venture or do something outside of work. And how can I do that, you know, if the business does not run itself without you? So I feel like I'm a key part of it, which is fine. But at some point, I would like to go ahead and have it be run differently.
Okay.
Have a model where it runs itself.
And by no means are you alone. That is absolutely something that Cleaning Nation is interested in and deals with. And I have the honor of getting to deal with cleaners every day on that topic. So happy to. And I don't know that we've shared that specifically on the show yet. So that's a great question. I know that we're going to get a lot of good feedback. Excited to dive in. So first of all, I'll give you the short, easy one-word answer, and that's systems. But just in case you didn't call in for one word that I could have emailed you, we'll talk about that a little deeper. Yeah, systems ultimately are what's going to set you free. Because really, what you're talking about is I want things to run the way that I want them, whether I'm there or not, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so another way to say that, and again, stop me if I get off track or I say something like, no, that's not quite me. But another way that I would say that is, I want people to make the same decisions that I would make, but I don't want to have to be there to make those decisions for them. Is that a fair jump?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So when I say systems, a lot of people hear, oh, that's for MBAs and smart people, and that's super technical, and that's boring. I don't want to do it. All that really systems are in my mind, the way I coach my clients and you guys, Cleaning Nation, is systems are just deciding on all the key decisions that need to be made before they need to be made and coming up with the best decision in advance and writing that down. That's a system. So instead of when somebody calls in sick, you have to go, do I fire them? Do I just pretend like it's okay? Do I call them and scream at them? You know, and again, depending on how your day is going and what your mental state is and you know, how fed up you are with that human being at this point in life, you could do any one of those. And the reality is only one of those things is the best way to do it. So the easiest, most basic way is to start breaking down your business into what are the large systems, right? I kind of picked a small one, like, you know, what happens when someone calls in? That's a small one. But the big systems that you need are, there's really three in any business. So this is for cleaning or anything else. You got to know how to get customers, right? You've got to know how to get people to come in that will give you money. That's called having a business. You've got to know how to perform the service that you promised these customers. And the third thing is you need to account for it. So it doesn't matter if you're Amazon.com or a cleaning company or pretty much fill in any other blank. Those are the three main systems that you have to get rolling. So what you want to do is kind of start with the fires. Every single entrepreneur I've talked about or talked to in or out of the cleaning company puts out fires all day, every day. And what happens is they kind of get this emotional fulfillment from doing that, right? Because people come to us and something's broken and they don't know what to do. And we, you know, pull open our shirt and the S is revealed that we're Superman. We tell them what to do. They're like, oh, thank you. You're so smart, Danny. This is why you're the boss. And they go along on their way. And we feel good because we solved the problem. And that's great. The problem is that that's what we do all day, every day, which isn't really a business owner. You're really at that point kind of a fire putter outer, which is not what we want. You can never extricate yourself from that type of a business. What you need to do is start looking for themes and themes in those questions and those fires and start putting out the big fires on purpose all at once forever. So when someone comes to you and says, well, this customer just screamed at me, what do I do? You go, well, we talked about that. We've got a system for it. Here's the operations manual. Here's how we handle that specific kind of challenge. So I've been speaking a lot. Any thoughts, questions, hesitation so far?
No, but you just mentioned operations manual. So kind of like an employee handbook kind of thing. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, that's the kind of basic standard piece of it, right? But I don't, again, people get a little, it seems overwhelming. Oh my gosh, put together a whole employee manual. That's too much. It's too hard. So just start with deciding all the stuff that every problem that you solve on a day-to-day basis, really think it through and decide, I'm not going to just solve it for John today. I'm going to solve it as this is how we do things here. And I'm going to write it down. And next time John comes to me with that same problem, or Julie comes to me with that same problem, I'm going to point to what I wrote down before instead of trying to solve it again. The cool thing is that seems kind of psychological. Like, I can do that, right? I'm solving these problems anyway. Now I'm just going to keep a record or a journal of what I've been solving and kind of use that. So that for whatever reason, to me, that seems, and I think a lot of people I work with, seems a little more tenable than creating an operations manual. Like, oh my gosh, that's overwhelming. Writing down the solutions that you've used and maybe get all the other employees in and go, well, hey, I solved it like this. Looking back, was that the best way? Let's all get together once a week and talk for an hour and just pick up the two or three problems that came up this week and how we solved it and discuss, did we solve it the right way? Is there a better way to do it? And just write it down. So don't make it too over the top difficult. But do make it better than, well, I just, you know, I never write anything down. We never think about it. I just off the cuff solve everything as we go. Is that's step
great
one
idea.
Of two. Is that, are we tracking so far?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I never thought about that, to actually just sit down and go over, you know, the problems that we faced last week or the past 2 weeks and talk about how we solved them and how we can kind of continue to do that and make it better. That's a wonderful piece of advice. Thank you.
Yeah, and be transparent, right? Don't, the goal is not for everyone to come around and be like, yeah, Danny, you're the smartest. You solved it right. We're so glad to have you.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll make you feel great, but it's not going to do much for your business. A real leader, when you go, hey, guys, here's what I did. I have no idea. Is that right? Wrong? How can we make it better? And when they go, man, you really blew it, Danny. That sucks. That's more painful to hear, but a lot of opportunity for growth. You're the best, Danny. You never make a mistake. Feels great, but no opportunity for growth. Okay. So that's step one. Let me give you, that's kind of the tactical piece, and I probably should have started with the philosophical piece because it's the foundation. The big piece you've got to have under that is your core values. And I've talked about this a lot on the show because they're so foundational to pretty much everything else that you're going to do. Your core values dictate what you believe and what's important. So your vision and your mission is kind of where you're going, why you get up and do this every morning. We want to make lives better. I want to make myself a pile of money. I want to employ a bunch of people. Whatever the case may be, that's your mission. The values are the rules that you play by to get there, right? Anytime we play a game, the goal is, you know, if it's Monopoly, well, you got to make everyone else bankrupt and have all the property. That's your mission. The core values are the rules that you play that game by. So the core values are going to go so far in getting your employees to act independently of yourself. Because once you've done a good job articulating those core values for yourself, for your employees, for your customers, for your banker, for your vendors, for anybody that you touch in your business, your life's going to get a lot easier. So I'll just use mine because I'm familiar with them and they're easy and I can give you 1,000 examples. But my core values for my company has been for the last 10 years over multiple companies because they're my personal core values. This is what I believe, not, well, for this business, it should be this and for this, it should be that. I'm still me, so I can't really change my core values. I'm just expressing what I already know. So for me, my company, people that work with me, it's have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And if a customer, vendor, employee didn't like that, they're not a fit, I don't want your money, I don't want you as an employee, I don't want you to be a part of this universe. So as my employees know that, because again, even a good employee handbook or manual is going to have, there's always going to be judgment work. You know, the employee's going to say, if a guy yells at you, do this. Well, how much did he yell at you? And when do I do that? There's always going to be some sort of kind of judgment call. And the funny thing is oftentimes, and you've probably had this, Danny, and I'm sure the listeners have had it, where an employee does something that seems not like a big deal and you lose your mind, you freak out, you go nuts. And the employees are like, what just happened? Other times the employees do something that's probably bigger in their minds and you don't respond in a really negative way. You're like, yeah, it's fine. I get it. We'll move on. And they're like, what? Why is that? The reason that is because the first one, they probably violated one of your core values, right? You had a core value of we always treat the customer right no matter what. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just using an example. And they just in one way kind of irked a customer where they didn't need to and it's not that big of a deal. But you really, really, that violated your core value. So you, in their opinion, overreacted. On another way, maybe they screwed something up and cost you real money. Maybe they made a mistake and lost some chemicals, cost you hundreds of dollars, and they thought you were going to freak out, and you didn't, because another one of your core values is education and personal development, and you saw it as, hey, I just invested $500 in that guy's education. I'm not mad. We just need to do better next time. So the goal of understanding these core values and communicating them is now the employees don't have this mystification. They know you're going to freak out if they violate a core value, and they know why you freak out. So if you're not there and they need to make a decision that's not in the employee handbook, they can go to the core values. And you know that if they follow the core values, they may do it differently than you would have, or they may do it the same, but they're never going to have you freak out. You're never going to come back from vacation and go, what on God's green earth did you do? Because as long as they follow the core values, they're going to be close. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. So that's kind of the 1-2 punch you're going to want to do to extricate yourself from your business, is to have systems and have them written down and have everybody understand them. And below those systems, kind of backing everything up as a shared group of core values that everybody gets. And the cool thing is, we don't hire people and try and beat our core values into them. We're really loud about our core values at the beginning, so we only attract people that already have those same core values, right? For me, one of our core values was to have fun. If I had employees that thought life should be professional and we should always wear dark suits and talk a certain way, they're never going to get hired because I can't beat my core values into them, and they're never going to beat their professional core values into me. We're just going to have frustration. So the cool thing is, once you get this right, instead of saying, hey, we're looking for people that have a driver's license and are over 21 and are drug-free, you know, that kind of nonsense. Not that that's not important, but instead of that, you're like, we're looking for people that like to have fun and like to help out and are into hard work and you know, teamwork or whatever your core values are. That's who you start attracting. And all of a sudden, people naturally make decisions the way you would make decisions because they already have the core values that you have. So once you kind of get that train rolling, it's very hard to stop.
Got it.
All right, cool. That's my rant for the day. Any other questions or thoughts before we move on to lightning round, my friend?
No, I think that that's a wonderful thing that I would definitely want to focus on. Core values. Have fun. Sure, absolutely. You know, it should. I mean, surely work is very important. Our ethics are very important. But you know, definitely enjoying and appreciation at job at your job is something that should definitely be written should be applied. So that's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, glad I could help, brother. All right, well, let's move on to lightning round and give you the opportunity to kind of share some of your experiences, good and bad, with Cleaning Nation and see if they can't learn from your experience. What's right off the bat, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I have probably received from from my parents and probably a mentor is just to maintain your tenacity. You know, I mean, if you're an ambitious individual and if you have an idea, you know, you work towards that and apply a piece of that to get closer and closer to that goal. And that's pretty much how I go about it every single day. You know, just maintain your authenticity, your integrity, and get closer to what you want to accomplish, even if you have to just kind of put it piece by piece every single day until you finally have it all together.
Solid advice indeed, my friend. All right, let's turn the corner. What's the biggest mistake you've made in your many years in the cleaning business that maybe we can listen to and learn from so we don't have to go make it ourselves?
The biggest mistake that I've probably done is, there's a part of, I mean, look, we have a small business, and the employees that have been with us have been with us for years. And, you know, it's almost like a small family. But sometimes getting too close to your employees, even outside of work, could potentially be a little bit of an issue because things become personal, and then sometimes it goes beyond being professional in the workplace. And you know, I think fraternizing, if you will, you know, I think that just getting a little too close, even as regular friends, can sometimes create a bit of an issue. Not that I don't love my employees, but I think we should definitely just be your employees. And that should just be the relationship. And that's some of the mistakes I probably may have had was maybe getting a little too close. And then sometimes in the end, that could hurt you because, you know, I think there's different expectations that arise. And it just needs to only be employee management, professional relations. So I think that's probably one of the mistakes that I've made.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for your transparency and your feedback. That is definitely something you've got to be careful of. All right. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice today that will improve either their lives or their business? This could be personal, business, just anything they'll get some value out of.
Something that they can go ahead and put into value. You know, just again, you know, just work towards your goals. And if you have an idea, certainly just put more put attention into the idea, and piece by piece, eventually accomplish that as time goes by. You know, as long as you just maintain and you know who you are, and apply your core values as you had mentioned. You know, I mean, I certainly have core values, but I never really put them down on paper. I think that's certainly something to strive for, and it'll definitely maintain everything where you want it to be. So, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, and core values that have not put – I have a name for core values that you haven't put on paper. Those are called a secret. So, all right, cool, brother. Well, hey, I really appreciate you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story, your passion, your excitement, and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Danny's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you can do that at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.